Good morning. Welcome everybody to the fourth holiday weekend version of our worship service. We trust that it's been enjoyable and restful, and you got to sleep before all the fireworks kept popping in your neighborhood last night. But anyway, glad to be here today, glad to be in another worship service with you and to sing of the goodness of our Lord. We have, starting 2 weeks from tonight, a very important series of services at our church here, and that's revival. And in that light, let's start with number 155 in the yellow book, Revive Us Again. 155. Now to another number that we all love, number 115. 115. I love this old song.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Sam. Thank you, Sister Rachel. Good morning, everybody. Well, I got a little more than I thought it would. I thought everybody might have been kept awake by the fireworks and such. I've heard different ones talk about that the fireworks kept them awake or kept their animals awake or something like that. So it's good to see everybody out today. I hope everybody is ready to come in and worship the Lord today. Everybody should have had a good time yesterday and the last few days as we celebrated the 250th birthday of our nation. And I'm thankful that we have that opportunity to celebrate our nation being independent as it was. And I just pray that it'll always continue to be independent, that it'll continue to be one that God loves and that God will help to grow. I do hope that, not in people, not in money, but grow in the Spirit of God. I hope that it does that. That's what I always wish for our church. But I hope and pray that our nation will also grow in the favor of God. That's the only way it'll ever survive, is growing in the favor of God is what it'll do. That's the only way that it will ever survive, because eventually, if she continues to do as she has been doing, she'll end up like Jerusalem and like the nation of Israel both. They're going off on the wrong path, and they'll be like them. And when they went off on the wrong path, eventually God sent a nation in to take over them. And I don't want to see that. Do you? You might think you do, but you really don't. We have many freedoms. Brother Tom taught on our liberty today. Not on the liberty of our country, but the liberty of God and of Jesus and the liberty of our salvation. But there's also a liberty that God has provided for us in this nation, and that's to worship like we do, like we desire to. And I hope and pray today that we'll all not take that for granted. We don't need to take that for granted, the ability to worship the Lord in our own mindset. I wished every one of them would worship God the way we do. Well, I'm going to say even better than we do. That's what I wish they would do. And I believe if we do that, we'd have a great big blessing come down on this nation. It's good to see everybody out today. We're going to go ahead and get into our service today, and we'll go ahead and do our children's church. So kids, we'll go right over here today. Come over this way. Oh yeah, I wanted to grab my Bible today. As the kids are coming up, if somebody'd like to volunteer to do one of these sometime or another, I'd be glad to see you do it. Anybody else coming? I see a few heads moving. Nope, going the other way. Good morning to y'all. Thank y'all for coming up and be with us. I miss Luke because he always comes sits in my lap. I ain't going to ask y'all to do that, though. Oh, you are coming. Okay, come on. Okay, that's good. Come right on. Be a part of the group. Good morning. Okay, we talked about the nation and liberty and having independence as far as a country is concerned today. But I want you to talk. I want to talk to you a little bit about being thankful. Now, I've got a verse for you today. I don't usually read out of my Bible for children's church, but you'll find this in Psalms 107, and it says the very first verse, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And what I want to talk to you today is about being thankful. I know we just got through with Thanksgiving, with 4th of July, and we hadn't got to Thanksgiving yet. I know I messed it up. But we're coming at a time where we should always be thankful. Do you know what it really means to be thankful? It means saying that somebody has done something for you that you couldn't have done yourself. I asked you, who can tell me what your last birthday present was? Or maybe I should say your most favorite birthday present was. Oh. Oh, good. Who gave you that present? Daddy did. Okay. I'll just have you two to tell what you did. Who gave you your last present? Remember? Get some many? I know Cohen gets plenty. The present seems like. But think about it. Who gave you that? You see, being thankful is getting something and then being thankful for getting something that you didn't, maybe that you couldn't get yourself. You see, when I was your age, we had some money, but we didn't get a lot of money either. So what I got, I always was glad to get. But then again, I think sometimes I expected them to do that. But the thing about it is being thankful for something that somebody does for you. Now, what I'm going to call to your mind is the one that gave you something the very most. Maybe you haven't been saved yet, but the Lord came into this world and gave his life for you. Remember I said gave his life that you might be saved. That's what you need to think about. Be thankful for the Lord himself and what he done. That's always a good point to be thankful. But be thankful for everything, whether it's a friend or whether it's a present or maybe it's just being able to be here today. All right, I'll turn you loose. Okay? We hope everyone had a good weekend thus far, and hopefully the fireworks did not keep you too far awake. I do have a couple prayer requests that I'm going to mention right off the bat. Sister Barbara texted this morning, and after we got into Sunday school, and Brother Slick fell again yesterday. He was going out to get some tomatoes, and he fell again, and he wore his arm out pretty bad. So do remember them in your prayers. Keep them on your heart. I mentioned Brother Sonny this morning. We need to keep them in our prayers also. Also, Sister Kendra, the last time she was here, she mentioned that she was going to have some tests, and she hasn't heard from them just yet, all of them, and they're not finding exact problems for her, but let's continue to remember her also in our prayers. Sister Barbara, I think, got some good reports this week, although it's not finished yet, but let's keep these things on her heart, and let's pray one for another. Maybe that's the best way I should say that today. Let's pray one for another that we can all be well and be ready to serve the Lord. We've got a busy week coming up. If you haven't noticed, we're already preparing for our vacation Bible school. Then in 2 weeks after that, we've got revival coming up. And so we've got a busy month coming up here in the next few weeks. And it's going to take a lot of prayer. It'll take a lot of work, don't get me wrong. But it needs a lot of prayer over these next few weeks. And especially pray for those that are unsaved that will be coming to be with us today and each and every time they come. Let's keep that in mind. Does anybody else have another prayer request on your heart? Let's be prayerful one for another, and I'll ask that you pray for me this morning that the Lord will help me that if I'm supposed to stand, the Lord will help me in that, that he'll give you the message that you need today. Anybody else have a prayer request on your heart? Glad to see each and every one. You pray in your own way. Whether you pray out loud or quietly, you just pray is what I asked you to do. Brother Sam, I feel like you ought to lead us in prayer this morning. If you would.
While we remain standing, it's the honoring the birthplace of our and birthday of our nation's freedom, which was July 4th of 1776. And to that end, I wanted us to sing this song that was popularized by a lady called Kate Smith years ago. How many of you remember her? Yeah, show me your age if you remember Miss Kate Smith. And that is God Bless America. And I love to sing this song. And if you could give us an E-flat or something right in there, we'll give us a starter, we'll do this. You should know this by heart. Just follow right along. Continue our song service, number 154. 154.
Thank you.
turn back to one I don't think we've done in a while, number 65. Number 65. All right, for our last song, let's do number 57. Number 57.
Oh,
Thank you all for the good singing this morning. Appreciate each and every one coming out today. Glad to have our visitors with us today also. We always want to welcome them to be here today. I do want to comment on the first song after prayer, God Bless America. That's what our country needs, is God's blessing upon it. And let's make that a constant prayer that we have for our country, to pray for our country, and that God will truly bless it, is what I hope that we'll do. It's good to see each one here today. Does anybody have a prayer request or anything on your heart this morning? Anybody got a testimony on your heart? We want you to follow the Lord now. Way it sounds, don't worry about going anywhere real quick. You'll get wet if you do, the way it sounds. If you notice, the clouds are getting pretty heavy. But I want us to be prayerful about this service. Revival is coming up. Like I said, we got VBS this week. And we've got people that are unsaved, and they need us to be there for them. We need to be there that they might hear the truth and be saved. So let's be about God's business. Let's forget about what's going on outside for a little while, and let's serve the Lord here in this service today. We're going to take a reading lesson today from the 15th chapter of the book of Romans. The 15th chapter of the book of Romans. Now, I'm going to give you a verse on the start here that's not here. But how many of you remember the verse that where Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman? And she had made the comment about that our fathers said we should worship in these mountains, but you say in Jerusalem. And Jesus made a comment to her, or told her something. He said, let me just turn over there so I don't mess it up. Fourth chapter of John is where I'm going to. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, excuse me, I'm in the wrong place. I'll get it right in a minute. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, my question today is, with this verse, and then going to our reading lesson today, do you know how to worship? Think about that. Most people would probably say, well, yeah, I know how to worship the Lord. I go to church on Sundays. Is that really worship? Or is that enough? I'll ask you that. Is that enough to really consider it to be worship? I want us to take a look at the, starting with verse 8 of the 15th chapter of the book of Romans today, and it says, now I say that Jesus was a minister of the circumcision of the truth of God, to confirm the promise made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to them among the Gentiles and sing unto them, sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And that's reading for our reading lesson today, verses 8 through 9. Now, I added in the verse 8. I felt like I ought to add that in today because it talks about how that Jesus first came to the Jewish people, to those of the circumcision. Is what is the way that he talks to them. Now, Jesus knew that when he came unto the Jewish people, as he was directed to, He knew that they were going to refuse him. In the book of John, the Bible says that Jesus came to his own, but they received him not. Actually, they rejected him is what they did. All throughout the Old Testament, there is several different prophecies made how that the gospel was going to the Gentile people. The Gentiles were anything, or anybody, I should say, that was not of the tribes of Jacob, of Israel, not of those 12 tribes. That was anybody that was not part of them. In the minds of the Jewish people, those people were heathens. Now, I remember as a child being called a heathen. And it was because that I was acting up or doing something that I shouldn't be doing. And in their terms, they believed that a heathen was anybody that did not worship God as they worshiped God. We have that tendency also, don't we? We have the opinion that anybody that does not worship God like we do, they are basically a heathen or they're not godly people. To a certain extent, we're still right. But if we get into our minds that we're the only ones that's out there that's worshiping the Lord, we better think again, is the way I'm going to put it. Now, in this lesson today, as we talked about earlier, the Lord is seeking those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, you may have in your mind what it means to worship. I'm going to give you a few things today for us to keep in mind as far as worship is concerned and what Paul said would be coming to pass in using the Old Testament. He prophesied in the Old Testament, but this is what Paul was saying that we need to do as far as worship in the Lord. If you go to verse 9, and he said, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Now let's talk first of all about glorify. I've got my definitions written out today for these things, but I want you to keep in mind that God desires us to glorify Him. That means to give honor, to make glorious, to make excellent, to celebrate Him, to make very honorable is what it means to glorify. I want to ask you today, just how much have you done that for the Lord lately? How much honor have you given to God in our services as of late? I realize a few Sundays ago, we were blessed to have a meeting in which that I didn't preach and everybody else talked in that service. And it was a blessing to hear people testifying about the goodness of God. That is honoring God. Those people that testified about His salvation, about the goodness of God that He had put upon them, that honored God. But I want us to keep in mind not just one or two or maybe four or five individuals. Giving honor to God does not count for our worship of God, to our glorifying God in our daily life. I'll also make this statement also. Not just one day a week is really enough for the real worship and glory of God. Many of us are kind of looking at the next month or so, and we're seeing VBS coming up, and we're saying, oh, we're going to be so tired in that time. Maybe then we'll get a little week's break, and then we'll come into revival, and we'll meet at 10:30 in the morning, and then at 11 o'clock at night, and then maybe after a while we'll get a break, and we can rest again. That's the way a lot of people looks at our services coming up. Am I wrong? Am I wrong? Actually, we ought to be looking at it as a privilege today that we have the opportunity to worship our God, to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, today, that we might have the opportunity to glorify Him. You might say, well, the idea of Vacation Bible School is to teach individuals, the children, about the Lord. We're using "The Lord is My Shepherd" this coming Vacation Bible School, and it is one that is a great opportunity for us to just lift up the name of the Lord. We'll talk about how that God shepherds His sheep, how that He has led us in the way. That's what we do when we testify to His goodness. We testify to that, and we show how the Lord has lifted, has saved our soul, and by doing that, we glorify Him in that, right? Now, the next verse here, it says, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." And again He saith, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with His people." Now, I'll get back to singing in a minute, Brother Keith. But the fact of the matter here today, let's start to look at what the Scripture is going to tell us about rejoicing in the Lord is what we want to do. I want to go first of all over into Romans again in the 5th chapter. And I want you to think about rejoicing in this way. What is rejoicing, first of all? It is to experience joy, is what it is. How many of us really get to experience joy? We call it happiness. We call it being glad, don't we? Most of the time, we'll consider it as being laughter in us many times. But I'm going to tell you, I've seen many times when that joy was exhibited through tears. What? Through tears? Some of the young people today might think that that's just a little bit odd to say, well, joy is expressed through tears. But I've been in that kind of a condition many times where I was so happy that the joy just came out of me through tears. Now, you know that I've said this many times. I'm not one that weeps a lot. So if you see me crying, there is a particular reason for it. But especially in worship, there is that worship that comes through tears of joy. Now, when we look at the rejoicing that we're talking about, how rejoicing is to experience joy. Now, in the 5th chapter, and looking at verse 2, He said, "By whom also ye have access by faith into this grace, wherein ye stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Now, we're talking about what are we truly rejoicing over. You know what I get happy about more than anything? I'm going to use that word because that's the way I kind of rejoice. What do I get more happy about than anything? Just exactly what He said, in the hope of the glory of God. That word hope, I've said it many times, it means expectation. I'm expecting a day in which that I'm going to be able to be in the glory of God. I'm not talking about being glorified. I'm going to be in His glory. What does the Bible tell us about being in the presence of God? It says that in the presence of God, there's no need for the sun. For the sun, S-O-N, is the light of that nation. I'm going to be able to enjoy the glory of the Lord the brightness of him, the wisdom that he has. I'm going to be able just to experience that glory that is there. I'm looking forward to that time. I'm hoping for it whenever that it comes, that expectation, I'm looking for it, and I can rejoice in that. Many times you hear me say, I know that I have a home on the other side. Many times you hear me tell about when that I got saved, and I rejoice in that just out of the hope or the expectation that I have. Now, how do we rejoice in those things here on this earth? And he says, and the third verse, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation. What? In tribulations. You know what tribulations is. Maybe some of the young people may not. Tribulations is those times of trouble. Maybe it's a time when you don't have enough for the day. Maybe it's when somebody has picked on you. I'll use it for the children. Maybe it's been somebody that's talked about your hair, or maybe your appearance in some way. Maybe you said something just wrong. A while ago, I said something wrong. Everybody smiled, didn't it? That's a time of tribulation for me. I know I messed up, didn't I? You know what it is? Tribulations is those troubles. And how can we rejoice in tribulations? Well, tribulation that I'm talking about today is the trouble for God. How many of us have suffered for the cause of God in the last few months? Huh? How much suffering have we actually done? I'm going to tell you something. If you'll suffer for the cause of God, you'll find a place to rejoice in him, in it, because it will cause you, God will cause you to have joy in that rejoicing. He said, "All right, not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Hope again, back to an expectation is what he's saying here. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." In other words, these tribulations, they've caused all these other things to come around in us and in us. And by that, you know what we end up doing? We begin to rejoice in that hope. It brings that hope back to us, don't it? We get to rejoice in the love of the Lord. Go with me, if you would, over to 1 Peter and the first chapter. 1 Peter in the first chapter, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I've got a bunch of them, don't get me wrong. But this one, I think, describes our salvation greatly, is what I think, first of all. But in the 8th verse, he said, "Whom having not seen." Who did we not see? I didn't see Jesus when he saved my soul, but I know he was there. I knew when that Spirit came through and he just applied that salvation on the inside is what he did. Now, he said, "Whom have you not seen, ye love." You know, before that I got saved, I kind of loved the Lord. You know, that I think that's kind of the way I looked at it. I felt like, well, yeah, I've been taught to love him. I've been taught to go to church. I've been taught to be a part of church in every way. And yeah, I thought I loved him, but not until that day that he saved my soul, I loved him. Bible tells us, Jesus doing the speaking, he said, "Except you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength." When that an individual truthfully believes in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with everything that they have, then they truly love him is what they do. And then listen to what he said. In whom though now ye see. I didn't see him with my physical eyes, but there's a part on me on the inside that, boy, I got to see the Lord. I did. I think about Zacchaeus many times. That crowd was all around Jesus, and all he wanted to do was just see the Lord. And he couldn't, because everybody was bigger than him. Everybody was around him in that day, and he couldn't get to where he could see him. So he had such a desire to see the Lord. You know what he did? According to Scripture, he went to a sycamore tree. He climbed up in it, got up over the crowd. And when Jesus came by, he saw his heart. He not only wanted to see him, he wanted to experience him is what he did. He said, not only that you loved him, but now that you see him not, but yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, that's the part that we talk about when we get saved, isn't it? I think the very best time that we really worship the Lord is that first few minutes after we get saved. Am I right? Especially if we tell somebody. If we tell somebody, when an individual gets saved and they're sitting there maybe on the altar in their seat or on their knees somewhere, and they come up and they tell, oh, I just got saved. You know what they'll do? They'll rejoice in that joy. You know, not only do they rejoice, everybody else around them rejoices too, don't we? If you don't rejoice, you better check your heart. I'll say that. If you're not glad when somebody gets saved, you better check yourself out. Either you're mighty cold or you're not saved, one. Check your heart. But he says, we rejoice with joy unspeakable. What does he mean by joy unspeakable? It's more than we can describe. You've heard me tell about this. Years ago, I was pastoring a church. We had a little girl come to the altar for the very first time. First time she'd ever been in church. She was seeking the Lord. And I just felt like we ought to ask everybody in the church. And I started on this side and I said, tell them how you felt when you got saved. All right, I ain't going to ask y'all, but you know what most of them said? It was just joy. It was peace was really what it was, God. But what they experienced was real joy. I never will forget Brother J.C. Durden. When it got around to him, he was over here on the far side. He was one of the last. He said, when I got saved at home in bed, everything was brighter. He said it was. Everything was brighter. He said, I hadn't told my mama or nothing. But he said, I went up to that church, and he said, I started up steps. And that church, I bet they had 30 steps up to the front door. He said, I started up them steps, and he said, I saw Uncle, and I ain't going to call name, and his wife, and he said, I'd always thought they was the ugliest folks I'd ever seen. But he said, that day, I was so happy they was the prettiest things I ever saw. Changes outlook. He got into the church house and he started rejoicing in the fact that he'd been saved. And he said there was joy that came to him. It's joy unspeakable. Can we experience that now? Oh yeah, we can. You don't have to just get it one time in your salvation and you experience right then. But you start to continue to rejoice and to learn from the Lord. Go with me, if you will, over into the book of Jeremiah, into the 33rd chapter. I got one verse here for you. If you want to actually worship the Lord and you want to rejoice in the Lord, if you want to praise Him, if you want to experience that joy, listen to what this verse says. The 11th verse, 33rd chapter of Jeremiah. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness. hard to be happy nowadays, ain't it? Sometimes, ain't it? Oh, I got bills to pay. That's what a lot of people says. There's so much trouble about us. I don't like them politicians. I don't like what's going on around us. Oh, there's crime here. There's crime right there. It's getting too close to me. They woke me up last night. They made me get up today. They did this to me. They did that to me. It's still hard to rejoice, ain't it? You want the Lord? You want to feel that joy again? You start talking to Him. He said, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom? According to the Scripture, the true bridegroom is Jesus Christ Himself. All of this, listening to what He said in the Scripture. What He says, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. Who is the bride? That's us, the church. We ought to be allowing our voice to praise God. He says, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts. Praise. Going back over to our reading lesson in the 11th verse, and again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and loud Him, all ye people. Now, L-A-U-D is a word we don't use anymore, but it means applaud. Applaud Him. Show Him that you love Him. Show Him that you appreciate Him. Show Him how much you respect Him. I grew up in church. You weren't supposed to. That's Bible right there, isn't it? Now, I'm not asking you to applaud what I say, but I want you to applaud God from time to time. And what it means is you're applauding Him for what He's done for you. In our lesson, it said, praise all ye Gentiles. Remember, you're the Gentiles. Anybody that was a heathen at one time that was out in sin, yeah, you was a heathen. It didn't matter if your mama called you a heathen after that. If you were out in sin, you were a heathen because you were a sinner in the eyes of God. But when that you got saved, you were a child of God. And what He is saying to us, all ye Gentiles, all ye that are saved, praise ye the Lord is what He's telling them. Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. He was good to us today. He got us here, didn't He? He was good to you yesterday. You got some rain, or the day before, whenever you got it. You was blessed to have food to eat. God was good. God gave you a car to drive to church. God was good. You could have had to ride a horse. God was good to us in that He brought us so many things into our life. How many of you have been thankful for air conditioning this week? You think that guy that invented the air conditioner gave you that? No. God did. He gave that to us. He used that man to fix that air conditioner where you could be cool this week. He says, praise ye the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endureth forever. You know, His mercy. You know, I look at myself many times and I say, Lord, why you let me stay around here? I ain't worth a flip. I'm not. I think of myself, I don't want you to take this as me being bad or anything like that. But when I look at what I do for the Lord and how I praise Him, I'm just not worth much. Why are you letting me stay around here? So I can praise Him when I do. Why did He let you stay here? So you can lift up His name. So you can glorify Him. You know, there's nobody that can tell about how you got saved like you do. Brother Brother R.D. Brooks, oh my goodness, he could remember every testimony he'd ever heard. And he could tell it, I mean almost verbatim. But it wasn't as good as when the other people told it, when they told it themselves. I can tell you Brother Jake Collins's testimony about when he stood up on top of that wall and that brother came to him and said, they're handing out tickets tonight at church. If you come, you might get one. He said, that buried my heart. And it was good to me to hear him say that, but I can't tell it like Jake did. Nobody can take your place as far as worshiping the Lord. That's why it's important for us to take every opportunity that we can to worship truthfully, to praise Him, to honor Him, that we might enjoy the joy that He gives to us each and every day. One last place. Let's go to Psalm 66. Brother Key's going to like this. Every one of us, Brother Sam's going to like it. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise. How many of you had somebody, we'll say at Walmart, checking you out, and they were sliding it through, they're mad as everything. I don't want to check out with them again, do you? Do you? You go in there and some lady is there. Hi, how are you doing? Smiling at you the entire time. Did you have a good week? Yeah. Have you seen my Lord? Have you met Him yet? Get one of them every once in a while. Don't much, but every once in a while you do. They're a privilege to get talked to, aren't they? When they're like that. Praise ye the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. What do we do when we sing? We honor God, don't we? In our singing service, our singing is basically the warm-up to worship. Sometimes it's just flat-out worship. You know, these days, we don't see a lot of shouting in our churches. 9 times out of 10, if you do, well, I'm going to say 99 times out of 100, it comes through the singing and it instead of the preaching. Occasionally, it's through the testifying. People get into those good old songs and they start hearing about how God was good to them and how that He gave His life to them, how that He called them, and they'll start to praise God. Have you ever heard somebody couldn't sing, but they sang praises unto the Lord? Oh, I have. I've listened to some people and I think, okay. But I knew what was coming out of their hearts was pure praise toward God. I watched a man one night. He went up in the choir at this particular church, and the girl was beside me. She says, oh, no, he's up in the choir section again. I said, what's wrong with him being up there? She said, he's a monotone. He can't carry a tune in a bucket. And I could hear him. And he couldn't. But he was singing with his heart. Praise unto the Lord. What's holding us back? What's holding us back? Are we afraid somebody's going to hear us? Are we afraid that somebody's going to say something about us? or you're afraid of the Lord, won't be satisfied. You know what he's going to be? He's satisfied with the slightest little bit that we do for him. When we worship him, he's satisfied. Especially if we follow him. You want to get people's attention? Praise the Lord. You want to get people's attention? Glorify God. You want to get people's attention? Sing praise unto him. Even when they don't really want to hear it. It's worth it to truly worship the Lord. And the more that you do it, the more you'll find yourself really worshiping God. Not just on Sunday. Try it on Monday. You got a little bit left over, I hope. And then when you get a little bit on Monday, try it on Tuesday. Oh, then you're going to get to the hump day Wednesday, yeah? Come on into church on Wednesday and get you a little taste of the Word again. And don't be surprised if it don't revive back up. Then on Thursday, you can set forth just a little bit of praise again. Friday, you got some more. See, the more you do it, the more it sticks with you. Then on Saturday, you're thinking, I've got to get ready for Sunday. You know what you do? You start primping for Sunday. No, I watch. Don't we all primp a little bit? Got to get the hair just right. Ladies, you got to get the makeup on. I'm not wearing makeup now. But we try to primp for it. How about us primping for God? What does that mean? Getting ready to worship. Praise him. Glorify him. Sing to him. Sing to whatever you can. Talk about him. That's how you're going to worship the Lord. That's Brother Sam, that's our message today. I hope you get something out of that today. Let us all worship the Lord. And let us do it more often than just on Sunday. While we stand and sing.
Two. 275, 275.